Welcome back to In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and very pleased to have with us here. It's Wednesday, so that means that we have got Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Granville, and Lanark District Health Unit, Dr. Paula Stewart, to answer your questions. Dr. Stewart, welcome back.
Good to be here again.
And also welcoming back Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector with the Community Health Protection Department. Kim, we're going to be speaking to you about animal bites coming up pretty soon.
Yeah, it's a good conversation.
Absolutely. So welcome here to both of you. It is a pleasure to have you both here. We're going to get right into this, Dr. Stewart. There's a couple of things that we want to touch on before we get into our questions. And our questions are they're really great this week, and they touch on a lot of the current events that you and I would have been discussing anyway in the old days. So we'll get to those in just a moment. But first, there was this joint media release that came out not too long ago, showing the cooperative effort with the Champlain and Southeast regions and the Southeast, involving the current status of COVID-19. You wanted to address that.
Yeah. So both the Champlain Medical Officers of Health and hospital CEOs, chiefs of staff, the physicians, and then the Southeast one. So that's basically all of our region, emphasizing that we are seeing a lot of cases of COVID, recognizing that that's a fraction of the number of people who truly have COVID now, because there's just such the number who can go for testing is so small. So know that, and following the precautions that we've been talking about all along, the stay home when sick, the use a mask when you're out and about in public places, get vaccinated, wash your hands, regular hand sanitizer, because Omicron can live on hard surfaces. And if someone has been coughing and sneezing on a door handle, and then you touch the door handle and touch your mouth, that is the way, because some people don't realize that. And then really restricting gatherings to small groups of people. Well, not today, we can't be outside, it's raining, but in general, a well-ventilated room, better to meet outside. And this is the Easter weekend coming up. So really, really pay attention to that one. So I think it's pretty powerful that all the chiefs of staff from all the hospitals, really from Hastings, Prince Edward over, and all medical officers are saying the same thing at the same time. It's important.
Yeah, it certainly is. And we have other questions, of course, here to get to. I'm going to ask you one or two after we get to the ones from the listeners, but you also wanted to talk about the new guidance on the antiviral that's out there too.
Yeah. So this is very exciting. People will have heard about Paxlovid, which is an antiviral drug specific to COVID-19 that can be given if within 5 days of the symptoms onset, so that it prevents really serious disease from developing after that. And for the longest while, it was really, you had to go to an assessment center, and then you had to get it from the hospital pharmacy. Like, it was really controlled. And they did that because we didn't have very much Paxlovid to start with. Now the province has received a lot more Paxlovid, so they've really opened it up. And the first step of opening up is making sure that people have a chance to get PCR testing to see if they test positive. And then if they do test positive, be able to get Paxlovid. So the people who are now able to go to our assessment centers and get testing is anyone who is 70 and older, anyone who's 60 and older who has not had, so that's in the 60s, and not had the three vaccines, obviously they're at higher risk, and anyone 18 and over who have had less than three vaccine doses and they have a risk factor, things like diabetes, heart disease, hypertension, COPD. So all of this information is up on our website, www.healthunit.org. If you type in case and contact in the little window, then it'll take you right to it. So I'm really pleased that we're opening up accessibility to the drug. So the first step is to go and be tested to see if you're positive. If you have a rapid antigen test at home and it's positive, that works as well. And then if you're positive, then if you've done it at the assessment center, they will contact you. You contact your healthcare provider, your physician, to say, I tested positive, and these are my symptoms, and I'm really interested in Paxlovid. Can you tell me about it? And so you have a conversation with the physician. There are some medications that interfere with Paxlovid, or Paxlovid interferes with them. So the physician will do that assessment. And if they decide it's for you, then either give you a prescription or call the prescription to the pharmacy, and we're going to be able to get Paxlovid at the local pharmacies. You go on the provincial website. If you actually probably, if you Google Ontario Antiviral Program, you can go right to it, and then they'll tell you where you can get it. So it's a really big change. You and I have talked about this. We've had deaths. We have 1 to 2 deaths every week. And Paxlovid is a drug that could make a difference as long as it's taken really early. So go to the website, look up, put case in contact in the little box, and then all the information you need is there.
Yeah. And I don't want to gloss over the fact that there was another death added to the totals today as well. And as you say, every single week, and it's the first thing I think of is the families that are, that are involved here. And it's just, it's a very sad occurrence. And this is why we say, you know, the pandemic isn't over.
Yeah, no, exactly. And this is one new initiative. Dr. Kieran Moore has been talking about it for a while. And then they just, when it just wasn't moving and they got more drug, they've just really expanded the program. So really think about it.
Okay, let's get into these questions here. Then we can wrap up any loose ends afterwards. Number one, if infectious timeline is 10 days, why are we hearing people can go back to school, work, et cetera, after 5 days? What is the real infectious period?
Such a good question. So it really varies from person to person, and it varies depending on whether or not you've been vaccinated. In general, that you can still have virus in the back of your nose and the throat that you could spread to others for up to 10 days. Most of it happens in that first 5 or 6 days, which is why the recommendation is to stay home for that first 5 days. And then for the next 6 to 10 days, you're not scot-free because there is a chance you still could have virus in the back of your nose and throat. You've got to wear a mask and don't take it off when you're in public. Like if you were, if you're planning to go to the gym, you got to keep the mask on. If you're going to eat someplace, keep the mask on. Like don't eat, in other words, you know, like really, it's very, very important. The reason the province did that is because one, the viral load is less, and two, because we're trying to encourage people and allow people to be able to get back to work, back to school and so on. So, that little window though, you got to be careful. Don't even with a mask, don't go visiting people who are over 70 or immune compromised. Don't go visit someone in a retirement home or long-term care, so on. So hopefully that helps.
Okay. Question number two, thank you for your program. I am a 74-year-old male with a history of heart disease, bypass surgery, and more. I have had 3 Moderna shots. Now we are advised to do a 4th booster shot and may get a free toaster when we reach the 6th jab. My question, nice tongue in cheek there. My question is, instead of getting more mRNA boosters, can I safely switch to the new Novavax vaccine that shows good, promising results against COVID variants and should negate heart problems associated from mRNA vaccines? The risks may be low with these present vaccines, but in my case, I do worry.
Great question.
Another good one.
So, yes, if you could, the booster from Novavax is absolutely an option for people. The messenger RNA one is a really good option as well for the booster, but Novavax is an option as well. The challenge is that the province doesn't have a lot of it, so that we have to order it based on who has said that they're interested in it. So that if you are interested in Novavax, whether it's for the 3rd, 1st, or 2nd dose, then call the vaccine line 1-844-369-1234. That number is up on our website. If you click on vaccine booking, you can get that number as well. It's open Monday to Friday from 8:30 to 4, and give them your name. So then as we have, there's 10 doses in a vial. So as we have enough people to have a clinic, then we will call all of those people back and say, can you come to and get the vaccine? So I appreciate the question because it actually gives me a chance to say how you could get Novavax
for
first or second dose.
Excellent. No, that's fantastic. Okay, so number 3, I'm scheduled for my 2nd booster, 4th dose in a couple of weeks. I'm seeing information reported that if your first 3 doses were one of the mRNA vaccine, there may be extra benefit to having the 4th dose with the other mRNA vaccine. Example, if the first 3 were Pfizer, using Moderna for the 4th. While I appreciate that any vaccine is better than no vaccine, I'd like to get Dr. Stewart's take on the potential benefits of switching it up for the 4th dose. Well, it just so happens that we have Dr. Stewart's ear right now, so you can answer that question.
Yeah, really good question. We don't have a lot of research on those kinds of specifics. I think that Moderna is a little bit different than Pfizer because it has a greater amount of antigen, a greater amount of the particles that will actually boost the immune response, which is why we were recommending it for people in long-term care. So that if you wanted to do that, that would be okay. It probably doesn't really matter. The critical thing is to get that fourth dose, I think, so that if you want to get Moderna for the fourth dose, that's okay. Or if you want Pfizer, that's okay too.
All right. If wastewater surveillance is the standard for measuring COVID-19, is there a home-administered urine analysis test being developed? Seems easier than a nose or mouth swab.
This is so creative. We
Yeah.
actually, like for chlamydia, it actually is a urine test now. So that was the first thing that jumped to mind. Have not heard about that. The thing about the virus and the wastewater is it's dead. And so I don't, the big question I would have is the virus still alive? If it's in urine, I doubt it. And so I haven't heard about that, but I will keep my eyes and ears open. And if I hear of anything like this, I'll let you know.
Just going from personal experience, after a while, when you have COVID, you get used to taking those tests, and I can have a conversation while swabbing way back into my nose. I can. And my wife was looking at me one day when I was doing it and saying, "Doesn't that hurt or bother you?" I'm like, "Not anymore."
Good.
You
That's
just get
really
used to it.
good.
Okay, so we have a lengthy one here to wrap things up on, and it's this is a big topic right now. People are talking about this all over, not just in Ontario too. On the subject of Ontario lifting mask mandates, which he said was premature, your colleague Dr. Rawe Deonandan, an epidemiologist at University of Ottawa, was recently quoted by CBC News Ottawa as saying, "Risk is not shared equally across the population. We need leaders at the municipal and provincial level to enact policies that help keep people safe in the throes of a pretty serious sixth wave." He referred to masking as a high impact, low investment, low cost way to reduce the risk of COVID and added that some modeling suggests this current wave will peak at the beginning of May. If our health unit and others in Ontario immediately reenacted masking mandates, irrespective of Ontario's, is there not still time to turn the tide of this sixth wave? I'm 61, but if I contract COVID, I cannot access the antiviral Dr. Kieran Moore seems to imply is our way out of this wave. Before you suggest I get a fourth vaccine, can I point out that having the third vaccine made me ineligible for the antiviral? Mandated masking was the last line of defense many had. Do you feel it is time for some level of government to revert to more non-invasive collective public health measures to protect our residents? There's the $1 million question right
Yeah,
there.
yeah. What we did collectively that we started this conversation with is that we have come out very strongly. So all medical officers of health, all chiefs of staff of the hospitals in our that East region have come out really strongly that a mask is a really, really important preventive measure that everybody can use. And precisely for the reason that this person says, that it means that you're keeping whatever is in your nose and throat, you're keeping it there and not spreading it. And that's including to people who are immune compromised, who would get really, really sick with the vaccine. So 100% support that using masks now in indoor spaces, even if you're going to visit someone who's immune compromised, think about having that extra protection, really important. And the vaccine, you can get your third, your vaccine boost, your fourth vaccine, you're eligible, get it, because that is something that absolutely will boost your immune system and prevent serious infection if you are exposed to the virus. So all of those things are available to us all now, and they're all things we can be doing now. And I think, as the person says, we need to be doing them. And that's what's going to make a difference. It's the individual behavior that we have. And considering for other people around us and what we can do to protect them is so important. And the staying home when sick, honest to goodness, that like it starts there.
Absolutely. Now, okay, so the follow-up questions that I'm sure that this person would have is, I remember in the beginning of the pandemic, when mask mandates first came in, it was being announced by yourself, and then the Eastern Ontario Health Unit came together with that announcement. Vera Etches from Ottawa as well in on that. So it was sort of regional. I think what they're the main question that they're asking here is, if Ontario doesn't put it back into place, is there the possibility that, you mentioned the collective right off the top here with the news release that came out, is there the possibility of a regional mandate being put in place?
Yeah, we've had lots of questions about that. I think that it's so different now than it was in July when we did that, because people didn't know it was important to wear masks. They, like, we're now used to it. And the there's no way to enforce it. You don't have, like, it's really, even if you did a policy, it's still up to individual people to do it. And so I think that in Lanarkshire and Grenville, I think we've been really good at using precautions that respect us and others. And I think that's the most powerful thing right now, which is why we came up collectively to say this is a good thing now. And then it's up to individual people to do it.
And so there, it's not really necessarily something that we're going to hear in, you know, the coming days or weeks, that we have to put the mask back on by the order of the health unit.
That's not in the plans that I have right now.
Okay. Every week I try to observe something to pass it on to you. And I've taken masks this week as my subject. And what I found interesting is that as we started to see the case numbers go back up again, and they were recorded, I saw more and more people wearing masks.
And you see?
Yeah,
you exactly. See? That's like, thank you.
You're welcome.
You just put an exclamation mark on my
Well, comment. And now here's the part that I find fascinating, and you might find it interesting as well. As I went into big box stores, grocery stores, you know, I go into the odd smaller place and so on. I would say the majority are wearing masks now. You know, there's still quite a few who are not. But what I found really fascinating is it isn't one group that is wearing them and another that isn't. You are looking at a cross section of our communities, young, old, that are wearing them and that aren't wearing them. And to me, I found that really interesting, because when we started this out, we had talked about the older age groups being the ones who were more susceptible to contracting. And sure enough, they always wore the masks and so on. But now we're seeing quite a difference. And it was also going back to the way that it was to get the younger people, that younger demographic, to get them with their vaccines, you know, and mm-hmm. they were the ones who were holding the big parties and stuff like mm-hmm. that too. So really, it's just fascinating to me to see that the message is, I don't want to say the message is getting across, but the message is being acted on by mm-hmm. so many different people. And it's not being acted on by, you know, people who look the exact same. It's really, to me, that's just kind of fascinating.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is fascinating. And it is, and people bring to a decision. There's so much about around them, and we don't know what people are thinking about or what they've experienced or what they've been concerned about. But I think that we're actually preparing a letter with Eastern Ontario that will go to parents with schools to remind them of all the precautions they can put in place now. I think we know them. We know them.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other thing that I'll just say is you were mentioning about when masking first came in versus now. Huge difference is we've got those shots in the arms.
Yeah. Yeah. Big difference. And we're used to wearing masks. We're familiar with them. We know where to get them. Remember, well-fitted one. That's the most important thing. 3-ply.
Exactly.
We know that now.
Yeah, exactly. I could have just played a tape from a year and a half ago with you saying that. And it's true. But that's the thing. It's the consistent messaging. Like you say, we know what to do. Dr. Stewart, as always, thank you so much for being here. It's a great pleasure to have you on week after week. And we look forward to answering more questions next week.
Yes, keep those questions coming. They're great.
All right, Dr. Stewart, we'll say goodbye to you for now. Okay. There she goes, Dr. Paula Stewart, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. If you have a question for Dr. Stewart, get it to us before 10 a.m. on Wednesday to info@lake88.ca. Now, don't go anywhere, because now we are shifting our focus to Kim McCann, senior public health inspector with the Community Health Protection Department with our health unit. And we are here to talk about something that comes up every year at this time, mm-hmm. animal bites. Kim, welcome.
Thank you very much. Good to be here.
It is good to have you here. And let's get right into it. The big question, of course, The obvious question right off the top is, how are animal bites related to public health?
Well, each year we do get reports of hundreds of animal bites throughout our Leeds, Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit region. And with an animal bite, there's the pain of it, but there's also the, you know, possible emotional scarring that can come along with an animal bite. And then, of course, there's always that risk of rabies or exposure to the rabies virus through an animal bite. So for each animal bite that happens, and we're talking about mammals, so whether it be a raccoon or some kind of wild animal like that, or our own pets, a cat, a dog, what we do here at the health unit as public health inspectors is we conduct a risk assessment and we determine if there is a risk of rabies from that actual animal biting incident. If the risk of rabies cannot be ruled out, we'll work with the person's healthcare provider to make sure that they get the proper treatment that they need. And then, of course, you know, having our pets vaccinated against rabies is really, really important, because what that does is it protects our pets, but it also protects us animal owners as well from getting, you know, or the risk of rabies or possibly getting rabies.
We hear about this all the time, talking about rabies. Is there a lot of rabies in Lanark, Leeds and Grenville, or are we successfully, you know, stopping it or slowing it down dramatically?
Well, in our terrestrial population, so such as the raccoons or the skunks, we work with the Ministry of Natural Resources. They do a local baiting program, and that does seem to keep our raccoon rabies at bay. We do have raccoon rabies right across the seaway from us. So New York State, for example, has a lot of raccoon rabies, so it's always a threat. Our bats do carry rabies in the area. So although, you know, bats are very good for the ecosystem, if you get bitten by a bat or scratched by a bat, there is definitely a risk of rabies.
Okay. So what can you do to reduce your chance of being bitten by an animal when you're out there?
Right. So all animal biting incidents, or the majority anyway, are preventable. So if you're walking down the street and you see a really cute puppy dog or just, you know, a really cute dog, make sure you do ask the owner before you reach out and touch the dog or pet the dog. Try not to let your animals run at large. Keep them on a leash. If you have new babies or really young children in the house, they don't always know how to treat an animal. They want to touch them, they want to pull on them, so just be cautious. Don't leave your baby or child in a room by themselves with an animal. Avoid running past the dog. That can actually provoke a dog or other type of animal, maybe a wild animal, to attack, because they may feel threatened by that action. Never reach through a fence. Or, you know, if you're going to somebody's house, make sure that you knock on the door and give the homeowner lots of times to tie up the animal so that the animal doesn't feel threatened by you coming into your space. And if you're threatened by a dog, avoid direct eye contact with that dog. Speak firmly. Stay still until the dog leaves or backs away. And don't turn and run, because you may actually provoke a biting incident that way. If for some reason you're knocked down by a dog, curl up in a ball and cover your head and neck just to protect those areas from being bitten. And then, of course, if you are adopting a dog, and we are seeing this now, that a lot of dogs are coming to Canada from war-torn countries, make sure if you are adopting a dog from a rescue agency, ask about the history of the dog, because those dogs have gone through traumatic events. And they may not be suitable necessarily for all types of families.
Absolutely. So what if you do come across animals in the wild? You've already told us a few things, you know, what to do domestically here, you know, going down the street and so on. But we have got such an incredible outdoors in Lanark, Leeds and Grenville that people just love exploring it. And certainly we're not the only ones out there.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's important to remember that wild animals are not pets. They're not domesticated. They see us as a threat as opposed to a friend. So, you know, stay away from wild animals. Look at them from afar. Don't disturb a wild animal. Although they, you know, they look cute, you don't know, especially this time of year, they could be nursing babies, you know, as the season goes on. So So it's really important just to leave them alone and look at them from afar. And don't forget that wild animals are wild animals. They're not domestic animals. So oftentimes we get bite reports from people who found a baby raccoon or a baby skunk and thought that they could make it their pet. And it just, it doesn't work. It's not in them. They are wild animals. So cuddling or petting or trying to feed a wild animal, even a little, you know, baby chipmunk or little squirrel, like it just doesn't work. Just let them be wild in their nature.
So what should you do if you are scratched or bitten? These are obviously for the people who aren't heeding your advice, but I don't know, there may be the odd accident or two as well. But if you are bitten or scratched, what do you do?
If you're bitten or scratched, make sure you do seek medical attention. Although there is a risk of rabies, there's also just a risk of general infection. So it's really important to clean that wound and seek medical attention. However, just going back to my previous statement, there is always a risk of rabies whenever there's a bite from a mammal. So give us a call or, you know, through your healthcare provider, report the incident to the health unit so that we can follow up, do our risk assessment, and make sure that rabies was not a risk to you.
Okay. And if you are a pet owner, of course, you have got to be responsible too, especially, I mean, obviously, when you have your animal out and about, whether it be just out front of your house or on the street or taking it for a walk down a trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Being a responsible pet owner is, you know, part of the whole enjoyment of having a pet, really. So do have your pet vaccinated against rabies. It will protect your pet if they get into somewhat kind of altercation with a wild mammal, and ultimately it will protect us as pet owners as well. And it is actually the law within Ontario that all dogs and cats are vaccinated against rabies. If you're out for a walk, keep your dog or cat, well, mostly a dog, that's usually what we walk, but keep them under your control, leash them so that they're not running at large and potentially causing an incident. Fence in your yard and then speak to your vet. If the dog is experiencing any change in behavior, if it's unusual, if the dog is becoming sick, please speak with your vet about that to keep your dogs healthy.
Okay. And also I can just mention too, as a cat owner, keep your cats inside. That's the easiest way to, you know.
Yes.
And it's so much better for the cat if you keep it inside too.
That's right.
If people would like to get more information on this, Kim, I have a feeling I know which website you're going to send them to.
Yeah, we have lots of information on our website at healthunit.org, or you could give us a call at 1-800-660-5853. And then, of course, our website has a lot of good links on there, so please check it out.
Yeah. And if you do everything that you say, you can really go out and enjoy the outdoors with your pet or even yourself. You know, we just have to be very respectful of the animals that are out there and other people out there too.
Yeah.
If we have our animals, we can be responsible and enjoy it all.
Yeah. And if I can just add one more little tidbit, the Easter weekend is coming up. So, you know, there is lots of family gatherings or maybe little children in homes that, you know, pets are not necessarily used to those little children. So if you are having a gathering, just think of your pet, think of, you know, the experience your pet is going to have. Just make sure that everybody's happy, including your pet, so that nobody gets bitten.
And we also got full documentation from his office. The Easter Bunny is fully vaccinated against COVID-19 and rabies as well.
So, awesome.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the greatest.
Easter Bunny, or EB as I like to call him. He's good to go.
Yeah.
Kim, as always, it's a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you so much for being here on In Focus today on Lake 88. We really appreciate it.
Take care.
All right. We're going to post this interview and that link, healthunit.org, on our website, lanarkleadstoday.ca. You're going to want to go to that and check out all the great content that is on there, including more from the health unit. I'm Bob Perreault. Thanks so much for listening. Stay safe and have a wonderful afternoon.